Well, anyone who has been to a supermarket this week will realize what's happening. It's happening again, and that is panic buying is off the hook. Empty shelves everywhere you look. A range of factors for that, of course. Someone who is able to delve much deeper into the issue, he's looked at it, in fact, long before COVID-19 came along in significant analysis, significant study. His name is Stephen Bartos. Now, Stephen is the former Deputy Secretary of the Finance Department at a federal level. He's written a fantastic piece this week just talking about, look, let's all relax. Australia does not have a shortage of food problem. To delve into that a little bit more, very lucky to have Stephen on the line. Stephen, give us a bit of a rundown, first of all, about the work that you did, I believe, back in 2012.
The 2012 report was drawing out lessons from what had been a series of natural disasters, including fires in Victoria and floods in Queensland in 2010-2011, and saying, look, how did the food supply chain cope? What lessons are we learning from that? How can we improve it? And so that was something that actually did help improve food supply chains in some respects, although there's still more that could be done. One of the aspects that we did look at was how food supply chains would cope in a pandemic. And at the moment, what we're seeing is a situation where we've got a lot of food on the shelves in warehouses around the country, but what we're seeing because of the spread of the Omicron strain is that that food can't get out of the warehouses because there aren't enough staff in the warehouses, or there aren't enough drivers on the roads to get it from the warehouses to the supermarket.
It's a logistical people problem, not a food shortage problem.
So this is in a way reassuring, and people I think shouldn't be thinking, look, Australia's running out of food. We definitely are not. Australia has more than enough food. We are a net exporter of food. We've got a lot of food. And a lot of food is readily available. It's sitting in warehouses waiting distribution. There's maybe an exception in relation to meat, because abattoirs are a notorious COVID hotspot because of the working conditions there. They are losing a lot of staff due to the pandemic, and what that means is that there may be more pressure on meat supplies than there are on other types of food. But I think that that's really not, again, something to panic about, but think about what else you can do instead of meat. Have pasta or beans or something more interesting than your standard meat dishes, and you might find you like it.
Because that was an interesting finding of that report there about 10 years ago, wasn't it, in terms of food literacy among Australians. Talk to us a little bit about that.
That was a real problem back in 2012, and I think it's likely to have gotten even worse since. That is, people don't have real understanding of how to prepare food, what types of food can substitute for other types of food. I mean, there were even instances back then of people who didn't know how to cook rice. They would get a bag of rice and say, oh, this stuff's horrible. It's crunchy and
crunchy.
Hurts my tooth. Because they didn't know that they had to cook it first. But the thing about food literacy is that if people understand better what to do with food and how to make do with what food is available, because there is some food available, and there's a need for people to understand how they can substitute one type of food for another. Now, low food literacy means that we really are less able to cope when there are shortages. What happens is that people see the things that they're used to not being on the shelf, and they don't really know how to find alternatives.
And we're talking really only, I mean, these things are only temporary, aren't they? So if you're saying let's replace meat with beans, for example, we're not saying forever. I mean, this is just
do it next week. We're not saying do it for a year.
Yes.
So supply chains are really quite resilient, and people think about workarounds, different ways of operating, find alternatives. And the people who work in our food supply chains, in our supermarkets in particular, are really smart and adaptable, and are already trying to adapt. I mean, one of the problems is that by the time the shortages become apparent to the consumers on the shelves, the retailers are already well aware of them and are already trying to fix it. And really at that point, there's not that much that governments can do to try and make things better, although they're trying to do that in terms of their public health measures and their isolation rules. But what governments could actually have been doing is making more rapid antigen tests available earlier and should also have been prioritising food delivery workers, and in fact all of the workers in the food supply chain, because they're as essential in terms of human life as your nurses and doctors are, but they haven't been getting the attention. And it's one of the unfortunate things that we don't give attention to those workers in the food supply chain until essentially it's too late to do anything about it anyway, because the shortages have come about. So I think an important learning for next time this happens, if there is a next time, is to pay attention to the food supply chain earlier.
I'm speaking with Stephen Bartos. Stephen is former Deputy Secretary of the Federal Finance Department. Stephen, so a lot of it as well, of course, apart from those logistical staffing challenges caused by COVID-19 and massive delays in those test results to come back. Of course, panic buying, the psychology of all of us, of consumers, the panic buying situation, despite the reality that you've very well pointed out that we do not have any shortages of food and there are alternatives to find, it's that mentality and the psychology of people. I mean, is there any way at all to change that?
Well, partly it's one of the reasons for writing an article like the one I did recently, so that people understand that there isn't a reason for panic may help a bit. Because panic buying can become a self-fulfilling prophecy. If people see that there's a shortage and they panic buy the little that's left, they make the shortages even worse. But there's different reasons for panic buying. Sometimes it's genuinely fear of a shortage, but there's some interesting work done by psychologists saying that panic buying of some things, like, for example, toilet paper, is because it makes people feel more reassured and more in control. So it's more a psychological thing than it is a real need thing. Australia has absolutely no need for anyone to panic buy toilet paper. We produce our own in Australia. It's not imported, and we've got more than enough to meet any eventuality.
So that's interesting, isn't it? So it's a reassurance.
Panic buy.
Yeah, it's a reassurance thing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. People, because it's relatively cheap and people can store it, they can put it in a cupboard at home. That's why they buy that. The difference with food is that if you buy too much food, you're actually going to waste it. It's going to go off. And really, it's not a good idea to buy an excessive amount of food, particularly fresh food, because all you're going to do is panic buy food that will then spoil and everyone else in the community misses out.
Let's hope that we do indeed learn some of the lessons across the board when it comes to the pandemic, that's for sure. Stephen Bartos, fantastic insights. Thanks for your time on the King Review today.
Thanks very much.